From a warm and sunny Antigua and Barbuda, I give you greetings from a cold and snowy Canada, where, you know, a few days before I left, it was 10 centimeters of snow and minus 20 with the wind chill. So just remember, it could always be worse. So first off, I just want to say how thrilled I am to be here at the Inclusive Design for Sustainability Conference. A huge thank you to RNIB for inviting me to speak here today. It's really always a great pleasure to be in a room full of people who not only care about accessibility and inclusion, but are actively working to make the world better, more inclusive for those who are blind or partially sighted. I'll just give you a sense of what I'm planning to talk about over the next little while. The main purpose of the presentation is to make the case that international efforts, things like global agreements, UN resolutions, international coalitions, that these things are not just abstract, high-level initiatives that stay locked away in Geneva and New York, but that they can and they should be used to drive meaningful advocacy at the local level. And so I'm going to assume that probably most people here agree, at least to some extent, with this kind of premise, but are probably also a little skeptical about how much, you know, positive impact that international efforts can really have on local advocacy. And I think that's totally fair to have some skepticism. My goal today is to kind of convince you that although international agreements won't do all the work for us, they do provide really crucial tools that can strengthen local advocacy. And I'm going to try to make this point with a discussion of the most recent and significant international policy initiatives in the digital space, and that is the Global Digital Compact, or the GDC. But first, before we get to that, I'm going to talk a little bit about what the WBU is, the World Blind Union is, what we do, how we do our work. Then I want to talk a little bit about the Global Digital Compact, how it relates to accessibility and disability rights. And then I'm going to try to make the case for why these kinds of global initiatives matter at the local level. And then I'm going to wrap everything up by kind of giving some more practical or concrete strategies that you can use to leverage these agreements and other international frameworks that I'll talk about to advance advocacy at the local level. So, beginning with the WBU, for those who may not be as familiar with the World Blind Union, we are a global organization that represents the voices of blind and partially sighted people all around the world. And unlike most advocacy organizations, our members are not people, they're not individuals. Our members are organizations. And we have hundreds of member organizations from every part of the world, some that are quite large, well-resourced organizations, such as the RNIB, with you know, many hundreds of employees, and others that are entirely volunteer-run organizations that operate on a shoestring budget. So very diverse membership that we have within the World Blind Union. But regardless of their size, our members are united by the sort of common goal to advocate for the rights of blind and partially sighted people and work to improve their lives. We do this by focusing on two kind of main areas of work. So advocacy, which I've used that word a couple of times. This might include representing the perspectives of blind people at within the UN system, the United Nations systems, or attending various international policy discussions, international conferences, and making sure that the perspective of those who are blind or partially sighted and the issues that we are concerned about, that they're raised in those venues. The second kind of way we do our work is through capacity building, and this means providing things like training or resources, toolkits to our members with the goal of trying to help them strengthen advocacy at that local level. So with that background in mind, let's talk about the Global Digital Compact and why we in the WBU saw it as an important initiative to engage with. So the GDC, or Global Digital Compact, at its core, is an agreement that sets out a vision for ensuring that digital technologies benefit everyone. It really is seeking to close the digital divide. It's a term we hear a lot. Promote accessibility and create a safer, more inclusive digital environment. It's built around three areas to achieve these larger goals. So the first one is around universal connectivity and digital inclusion. The goal here is pretty simple. Everyone everywhere should have access to the internet and digital tools. We know that right now, that is far from the case. Right? Around 2.7 billion people around the world remain offline, many of whom are people with disabilities. So the GDC pushes for expanding affordable broadband so that everyone gets connected, but also ensuring digital literacy, right? So you not only have access, but you actually know how to use the tools, and making sure that no one is excluded from the digital world. The second area of the GDC that is of interest to us is human rights and accessibility. So the GDC explicitly references the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. That's something that we fought for in getting included into the text of the Global Digital Compact, and we're successful. This reinforces the need for digital platforms and services and tools to be fully accessible. It includes things like ensuring that government websites are meeting accessibility standards, requiring tech companies to incorporate universal design principles like Dr. Webson was just talking about, and promoting the availability of assistive technologies that can make such a huge difference in our independence. The key takeaway is that the GDC, the Global Digital Compact, recognizes that digital rights are human rights, and accessibility has to be part of that conversation. The last thing I'll mention around the GDC is that safe, secure, and ethical technology is another kind of key area of focus for this document. So dealing with things like ensuring that privacy is protected within the digital sphere. We know that's a major concern for a lot of individuals. Making sure that cybersecurity is taken into account, and then developing ethical frameworks around emerging technologies like AI, which we also just heard about. And I suspect we're going to hear a lot more about that subject over the next couple of days. We want to make sure that all of that stuff is built in a way that's ethical. And so the accessibility angle to all of this is to make sure that these efforts around privacy or security or AI development, that they do not exclude people with disabilities, which we know happens all too often when we're not at the table. I'm going to shift gears now a little bit and talk about why I think international efforts matter for local advocacy. So one of the challenges that we have when we're doing advocacy at the local level is getting governments, policymakers, institutions to recognize and then act on the issues that matter to us. And I think this is where the international agreements and efforts like the Global Digital Compact can play an important role in that work. They are real tools that can help us push for progress at home. And I think I'm going to mention three key ways that I think they can help us. So first is around international norms shaping regional and national policies. So when a country signs on to an international agreement, it's not just making a symbolic gesture. It's aligning itself with globally recognized principles and standards. And over time, you know, these international commitments do influence national laws and policies. And we have, you know, good evidence that this happens in the disability sphere, right? So if you look at the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities that I've mentioned, which is the first human rights treaty of the 21st century, its adoption really did lead to sweeping reforms around the world. Governments started to introduce for the first time disability laws, or they started to upgrade and update their disability laws to make sure that they were complying with the commitments that they made in the CRPD. And so it creates a a domino effect where what was once kind of seen as a bit of a niche issue becomes part of the mainstream policy discussion. And the GDC, I think, has the potential to do this for digital accessibility. So by establishing accessibility as a global norm, right, one that is recognized across the world, it sends a clear message to governments, to industry, that if you want to be part of the modern digital world, then accessibility is non-negotiable. It has to be taken into consideration. And so the GDC can also lay the foundation for national accessibility laws, tech regulations, inclusive digital strategies, and the like. And I think it gives local advocates a nice reference point so that instead of just saying we want this change to happen, we can say this is an international standard and you need to follow it. And I think that's a harder argument to ignore. The second thing that I think these international agreements can help with is international collaboration, resulting in more innovation, knowledge sharing, and funding as well, which is important. So no single country has all the answers. And when it comes to accessibility, some countries maybe have great policies but struggle a little bit with implementation. Others might have technology but don't have the laws to back that up. And international collaboration can bridge the gap among different countries who are dealing with different aspects of accessibility and inclusion. So these global agreements, like the ones we're talking about, they can create networks of experts, policymakers, organizations that share solutions and can be adopted from one country to the other. So if one country has successfully dealt with or rolled out assistive technology programs in schools, making sure that students have the tools they need to be successful, other countries can learn from that model instead of sort of reinventing the wheel. And this is why frameworks like the Sustainable Development Goals or the SDGs emphasize the need for global cooperation in areas like science, innovation, and technology. These are big challenges, and no one country on their own is going to deal with them. We need to work in collections of countries to do this. And I think the Global Digital Compact can serve as a similar platform for accessibility, you know, including helping governments share best practices and pool resources and then develop global standards. The last thing I'll mention here is around funding, because it's just true that money drives action in a lot of these areas. And when accessibility becomes part of the global agenda, then the funding does tend to follow, right? So international agreements often attract investment from donors or development agencies, governments, et cetera, who are looking to support compliance efforts. And one, you know, example that we have of this is the Global Disability Summit, which will be taking place for the third time in Berlin in a couple of weeks. But in the past, we definitely saw commitments and funding pledges come through the Global Disability Summit. And I think something similar can happen with the Global Digital Compact, that countries that commit to digital inclusion may receive some technical assistance and financial support to make the commitments a reality, which results in a benefit to the local organizations. The last reason that I think these international frameworks can be helpful for local advocacy, and the one I'm going to spend a little more time on, is that these global agreements can provide leverage for advocacy around compliance with these agreements. So an international agreement can give local advocates a tool to hold their governments accountable. When a country signs on to an agreement like the CRPD, Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, or the Global Digital Compact, it's publicly stating that we support this, you know, this agreement. And that's not just lip service, or at least we can make sure that it isn't just lip service. It's a promise, right? It's a commitment, and these promises and commitments can be enforced. And so I'm going to use the last little bit of my time to explore some strategies that advocates can use to try to enforce these types of promises and commitments. Covered a lot of ground so far, what the GDC is, why it matters, along with other international agreements, but we're going to move into a little bit more practical here. So how can you, as an advocate, someone who cares about these issues, actually use international agreements like the GDC to create real change in your community? I'll give you three kind of concrete strategies that I think could be helpful in order to translate the commitments into action. So the first one is around engaging with the UN treaty body system, right, to strengthen accessibility commitments. So a lot of people think that the UN is a kind of distant bureaucratic body that doesn't really have a lot to do with your daily lives. But the thing is, it does provide direct channels for activists to push for real change. And so those who know how to use the system and navigate it can amplify their advocacy efforts in really powerful ways. One of the best tools is the treaty system, particularly the CRPD reporting system that is established. So governments that have ratified the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and that's the vast majority of governments around the world, are required to report on their progress. They have to tell the UN how they're doing when it comes to implementing the CRPD. And that's a great opportunity where we, the advocates, can come in and influence this process. So, for example, disability organizations can submit what are sometimes called shadow reports or parallel reports. These are essentially sort of our assessment on how well or not a government is doing when it comes to implementing their commitment. So if a government's websites are still inaccessible, or you know, they've come up with a national digital strategy that makes no mention of people with disabilities whatsoever, you can bring those concerns directly to the CRPD committee that's responsible for hearing these, conducting these reviews. And you know, the nice thing is, when those reports get reviewed, governments, you know, may get called out on the international stage, and that's just not something that a government wants to have happen. Another key avenue that's somewhat similar is around the Human Rights Council process and universal periodic reviews. So these are where countries would be assessed on their human rights records. And again, we can use this as an opportunity to demand accountability for digital accessibility gaps, pushing governments to address things like accessible e-learning platforms or digital banking, which we know can be very exclusionary, public sector websites and the like. The key takeaway here is that when we engage with UN mechanisms and submit reports and raise our voices, then these issues around accessibility can be put under international scrutiny. And, you know, as a result of that, it becomes a lot harder for governments to ignore. The second strategy that I think can be helpful here is to use the GDC's principles to influence national digital policies. It's kind of like the flip side of using the international mechanisms. Instead, we're taking the international agreement and we're raising it at the local level. So one of the nice things about the Global Digital Compact is that it gives advocates a ready-made playbook for pushing local reforms. So it's a list of best practices and standards and things like that that governments have already agreed to. So the job here is just to get governments to then follow through. And so, you know, again, if a government is working on a new digital strategy, then, or cybersecurity law or something along those lines, where accessibility has maybe not been taken into consideration, then this is where you can step in and say, this needs to align with the commitments that have been made in the Global Digital Compact. And since the GDC emphasizes universal design, affordability, digital inclusion, these are all principles within the GDC, you're not just making a suggestion for what you'd like to see. Instead, you're pointing to an internationally recognized framework, one that the country has already agreed to. So some ways you can put this into practice might be to join advisory bodies. If there's a task force on digital transformation, which a lot of governments have adopted, you know, looking for a seat at the table, requesting the formation of accessibility working groups to advise these types of task forces. That's another super effective way, using media and public awareness as a way of pushing. So, organizing a campaign that highlights the ways that the Global Digital Compact can apply to real-life digital barriers, like the things we've been talking about, the inaccessible public services, job platforms, that kind of thing. You might also push for policy alignment when you're speaking to policymakers, and in doing so, you would frame your advocacy around the GDC. So instead of saying we want more accessible technology, the message is we need to implement what our country already committed to in the GDC. And that's, I think, can be a stronger argument. And the last thing here is to call out inaction, right? It gives you a nice point of leverage to say we're not doing what we said we would do. And so when progress stalls, you can use open letters or news releases, advocacy reports, to hold leaders accountable for their failures to not live up to the commitments that they've made. And this public pressure can lead to real action. So the bottom line here is that the GDC isn't just a document, it's a helpful tool for advocacy, and you can use it to demand advocacy, shape policy, and make accessibility a mainstream priority. The last thing here, the last sort of strategy I'll point to is to leverage things like UN resolutions, global advocacy networks to build momentum for your advocacy. So, you know, what I was saying earlier, that this isn't something a country does on its own. It's also not something that advocates need to do on their own, right? So you can have some successful advocacy campaigns have been fueled by global coalitions. Marrakesh Treaty and the Blind Community is one great example of that. And if you're working on accessibility issues, then plugging into global networks can really boost your efforts. And a great place to start is by connecting with, international disability organizations. So, I'm a little biased here, but organizations like the World Blind Union or the International Disability Alliance or the Global Initiative for Inclusive Information Communication Technology, or G3ICT, which is one that we work with and I know has been involved in this conference in the past. When you work with those types of groups who all work across borders, it can help bring your local issue to a global audience. Another one is if the UN happens to pass some type of resolution at one of the different agencies, World Health Organization on assistive technology or others, then you can use these resolutions as a fuel for your local campaigns. So you might organize stakeholder meetings to discuss how this new resolution from the UN can affect or apply to your certain situation. You might push for a government action plan on, exactly how it's going to comply with these resolutions. You can engage media to make sure this all stays on the agenda. And I would also just say, don't forget about these international observances and events. Things like the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, which is celebrated each year on December 3rd, or the Global Accessibility Awareness Day. These create really great opportunities to link advocacy work to international commitments like those I've been talking about in the Global Digital Compact. It's a way to show local leaders that accessibility isn't just a sort of niche issue affecting a small number of people, but it's part of a global movement that they need to be paying attention to. So the key takeaway here is you don't have to fight for accessibility on your own. You can leverage international networks, global resolutions, and major advocacy moments to build the momentum for the change. Okay, kind of wrapping up here, I think the Global Digital Compact, the CRPD, and other international agreements, these are just two, but we could talk about others, aren't just theoretical documents. They are practical advocacy tools, but they only work if we use them effectively. So the challenge to you is to get familiar with these agreements, to call out governments when they fail to meet their commitments, to tap into global networks for support, and most importantly, just to not underestimate the power of international pressure. If we work together, I think we can turn these global commitments into real, tangible improvements in the lives of blind or partially sighted people. Thank you again to RNIB, and thank you all as well for your time. Really appreciate it.